We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Rick Hamlin and John Michaels on the home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Home of the Hawks as well. You heard last night's game, the Vince Carter Bowl up in Toronto, right here on the home of the Hawks. We're going to bring in Dave Archer here in a moment. Again, you got to play Vince Carter down the stretch. I'm sorry. I've been banging on it all day. I'm going to continue to bang on it. 3:44 to go in the basketball game. They pull him out. They bring him back with 17 seconds left. Come on, man. It's his last trip back to Toronto. Come on, man. Got to play him.
Yeah, I now really don't like the Cardinals. Some people have hit me up. The Finesser hit me up on Twitter and said they use a knockoff brand. It actually says Rise Up Red Sea. Rice and Bean said, I actually live in Arizona now. Listen to you guys on the radio. Thank you. But I do hear them from time to time say Rise Up. I had a heart attack when I heard it first. And Jeff said he saw some Rise Up shirts on the Arizona sidelines. That's harsh about this.
This is laziness
on
the staff of the Arizona Cardinals not to look at the slogans of every other NFL team just to make sure we're not stepping on toes. They didn't take that step, and they look like idiots right now.
Let's go to Arch on the waitforit.com hotline. Arch, I know next time we play in the big popcorn bag out there in Arizona, which I think is next year, we may have to confront some people wearing Rise Up shirts with the wrong bird on them.
Yeah, the big toaster, they don't have it going on very well out there. They slide their field in and out, let sun get on it. They've got now they've hired a guy that has absolutely no experience in the National Football League. So, I kind of wonder what they've got going on out there.
Well, we're going to get right into it, Arch. The Falcons make a couple of hires yesterday. Dirk Koetter back as the offensive coordinator. Mike Mularkey brought in to be the tight ends coach. What were your first thoughts when you heard those two guys coming to lend their wisdom to this offense?
Well, I think that's the word, really, John, is the wisdom that they bring to the table. And, you know, you can break down records and what they did in the past and all those type of things. And these guys have success. You know, yeah, sure, they have some failures as well. But these are guys who are familiar with the quarterback, familiar with the city, familiar with the brand of football. And you've got a guy that's an experienced play caller that's had a lot of success in this league. You don't have to go any further back than last year in calling plays for Tampa Bay. They were number 3 in the league in offense, number 1 in the league in throwing the ball, and that was with 2 quarterbacks through 25 interceptions. So had a lot of success, even though maybe the guy squeezing the trigger wasn't as astute as the guy we have here in Atlanta. And you mix in Mike Mularkey, who his last stint was in Tennessee where they had a power running game, which is something we need. We're in dire need of getting the running game going again. He obviously has the tight end tag attached to him, but I think he'll lend his expertise into the ground attack and the offensive line as well. He played in the league, played tight end in the league, so he has understanding of that. And you mix in Greg Knapp, a guy that's still here that has some experience calling plays, and all of a sudden you look up and you got three offensive coordinators that are going to be able to lend their minds on Monday and Tuesdays. You're putting plans together to get ready for each and every opponent. And let's not lose the fact that these three guys have prepared for every team in the league. They have a good feel for every team in the league, coaches that have coached this league, whether they're retreads with another team or not. But the knowledge thing that you just said, that's the key word. These guys are going to bring it to the table.
Dave Archer joining Rick and John here on the home of the Falcons. And Arch, as I ask this question, I'm not worried about this, okay? But I want to ask this question just journalistically to get your response on it. And I think I already know your answer, but let's go ahead with this. You talk about Knapp and Mularkey and obviously Koetter. Matt Ryan as well is going to be offering input, and he's going to have his say on what goes on there. Is that too many cooks in the kitchen?
Well, first of all, you use the word journalist, and I'm pretty sure that I know it doesn't apply to John and I, and I'm pretty sure it doesn't apply to you either.
Stop it. That's
neither here nor there. But from analysis standpoint, sure, if you don't have some hierarchy attached to how this thing unfolds or who has the final say, sure, there are going to be a lot of people trying to pull at it. I don't think that that's the way it's going to be taken care of. I think that the hierarchy attached to this thing is Dirk Koetter is the offensive coordinator. And now you have guys in the room that can throw out ideas, can tell you if your idea stinks. I mean, that's another part of this. And something Coach Quinn talked a little bit about in his postseason press conference was having some guys in there that can say, you know what, I don't think that's a good idea. And because these guys have been through it, and it's not lack of credibility. There's no lack of credibility in the room when you think about these three guys that have all Paul plays in the league. So I don't think that's going to be a problem. They'll establish who's the, if you will, alpha in the room. All of them are alphas, but who's the lead dog in this thing? And it'll be Dirk Cutter.
We've got Arch with us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking about some of the hires with the Atlanta Falcons and what they have done. I want to ask you, Arch, Dan Quinn at the end of the year during the press conference mentioned sticking with the outside zone run scheme. Dirk Cutter is more a vertical passing guy. Mike Mularkey, as you mentioned, more of a power run guy. How do you think this all blends together when it comes to calling this offense?
Well, you need to have all of it, John, to be successful if you want to be a high-powered attack. I think that when you look back on the 16 team, Atlanta had some abilities to run the ball with some power when they needed to. I think the ability to blend all those ideas you just talked about are going to be imperative for Atlanta to move forward. I know a lot of people have been tweeting or stepping back or moving back. Well, I think to the contrary, you're going to blend three specific ideas together here. And if you've got three ideas that can come together, and obviously that'll be their job, is to blend those thoughts that you just had together. That's a step forward. That means you're coming with now not only the stretch run game and the boot off of it, but now you've got the vertical passing game off drop back. You've got vertical passing game off play action. You've got the ability to run with power if you need to. So to me, that's a step forward when you start talking about coordinating offense, and that's what I'm excited about.
Arch, I've been curious about this since the Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff presser last week. DQ, and both of them, but mostly DQ, has asked a really good question about clock management, game management, situational awareness in football games, when to punt, when to call a timeout, all that stuff. And he said that he's going to add responsibilities within our staff for that role. He also said, it always goes through me. Vaughn McClure on ESPN.com says that with Cutter and Mularkey coming on, they should help Dan Quinn in terms of that game management and that clock management. Arch, help me out. I'm hearing a lot of different stuff. I hear Dan Quinn kind of contradicting himself, saying add responsibilities for that role within our staff, but it always goes through me. So what's up with that? Is that still on Dan Quinn to call the defensive plays and make the decisions on timeouts and when to punt, when to go for it, and all that kind of stuff?
Well, I think you've got a lot of things going on here, obviously, Rick, and yeah, it's going to have to kind of play itself out a little bit. But when you put three guys on the field that are either former head coaches or the current head coach, that means that's who you're going to have on the field. Remember, Dan Quinn's going to be on his knee, not facing the field, making defensive adjustments while the offense has the football. So that also is a reason why Dirk Cutter and Mike Mularkey are on this staff. They're former head coaches. They're guys that have had to make those decisions. And so there'll be communication with the head coach. But remember, he's going to be doing another job, and that's coordinating your defense, which I think a lot of people are excited about. The fact that that's why he came here, because of his defensive prowess, getting back on the job. And the way he did it in the last six games of the playoff push in 2016, that's what he was doing. So I think that certainly it begins and or it ends, certainly ends with Dan. But I think there will be some added, and they'll have to work this out. This is all part of working out how the staff is going to operate one together. We talk about teamwork. It's not just the guys on the field. It's the coaching staff relaying information from upstairs, downstairs, when to call timeout, when to challenge a play. All those kind of things are going to have to come together. And that'll be something that they'll have to work on hard in the offseason, not just getting the players dialed in. But I think these guys added to the staff are going to aid in some of those things you're talking about with clock management, timeouts, challenges, kick, go, all that kind of stuff.
Arch, DQ also mentioned something during the coaches' show about the offensive line, scrubbing three guys or scrubbing whatever that's not named Alex Mack and Jake Matthews. How many guys do you think out of the group that was there this year are back on the team next year?
Well, I think the bulk of them will be back, John. It's just they're going to be in a situation where they're going to come in and there's going to be another guy standing there that thinks the job's his. And to a certain extent, it'll be a little bit like we saw. I don't think we know what Brandon Fusco brings to the table. I think he'll still be here. I think Ryan Schrader will still be here. These guys played at a high level at this level. That's hard to find a guy that can play the edge like he did at a certain level. He was part of that Super Bowl team in 16 and played well. Remember, that was a team that didn't have a lot of injuries on. In fact, no injuries until Malik Mack had to deal with that leg injury in the Super Bowl. That has a lot to do with how some of these guys playing as well. Now, it's always part of the game. Can you keep people on the field, keep them healthy? I think the depth gets better, but certainly there. You mentioned the two guys that Dan seems to be very comfortable with, and then there's three guys that are going to come to camp wondering if it's their job and maybe a little bit more hungry. Well, some of that will be maybe satisfied in the off-season training activities or the OTAs and then some of the camps. But I think the bulk of the guys that we see will be back, but there will be a couple of changes. I can't give you those names.
Dave Archer hanging out with Rick and John here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, home of the Falcons. ESPN.com put this quote out from Matt Ryan about Dirk Koetter, and I'm excited about it. Quote, "Dirk taught me a lot about being confident in what we do. I think he believed in, if I was comfortable with it, go. It made me take ownership of what I liked, what I didn't like. He pushed me to be better in that department." Does that mean that Matt Ryan is going to have maybe more autonomy than he has had under Steve Sarkisian or Kyle Shanahan to call some plays at the line of scrimmage and audible out of stuff and get into some things that he perceives as he's walking up to the line of scrimmage?
Well, if you go down and you go back at the look at the 12 team, which was Dirk's first year here, that was the team that went to the NFC title game and lost to the 49ers. That season, Matt did a ton of stuff at the line of scrimmage. You stayed healthy. You had all your receivers. You had a running game that was beginning to get old, but still was effective. And Ryan did a lot of stuff at the line of scrimmage. And that's something Dirk likes to do. If you watched Tampa play this year, that's something he liked Jameis doing. He gave Jameis the opportunity to go to the line of scrimmage and do some of those kind of things. I think that's something that Dirk likes to do. So blending that with what we can get going in the run game will be imperative. But I don't think there's any question that Ryan's going to be given every opportunity to be the guy running the show on the field in an up-tempo scenario.
How much do you think the change potentially with the way that they're going to try to run the football impacts Devontae Freeman? Do you see Devontae still being the lead back? Does money facilitate that he has to be the lead back?
Well, the first thing that's going to obviously dictate that is how is Devontae? I mean, he's been banged up the last couple of seasons, and we know he had the groin surgery and he had the concussions 2 years ago, and where is he, you know, as far as his health? I think you like the fact that Ito Smith came on. We certainly saw something from Brian Hill. Whether Tevin's still in the mix is something I'm sure they would love to keep have happen, but I don't know if economics can drive that. Devontae is capable of being the guy in whatever system you got. His ability to run the stretch game and the ability to cut back, having both skill sets, which I didn't think Tevin possessed. Tevin tried to do some of it. Tevin's more of a stretch running back and get to the perimeter, up the field, or one cut and go, whereas Devontae is patient, runs the ball in all areas, to the perimeter, off tackle, or where I think he's most dangerous in his cutback ability. Devontae has all that, and he has power that belies really his size. So he has all the things you need to be your back. But again, I think in this day and age, you're not looking for a bell cow guy. You're looking for a guy that's going to be, I guess, the guy that starts the game. But you're probably talking about 15 carries. Maybe if you're winning a game and you're rolling, he's at 20 carries. But you're going to have another guy that mixes in as well.
Art, you the man. Really appreciate it. Thanks for taking some time out of your busy, busy schedule. Are you enjoying these playoff games? We got to go, but are you enjoying these playoff games, man? You watching all these games?
Yeah, I would have liked to see. I'm pulling for any team I think can beat the Saints. And so I didn't like seeing Chicago to go down because I thought that was a team that could go beat the Saints in their building. So Dallas and the Rams are going to have somebody come out of there that potentially go. I don't think the Eagles can beat them down there.
Let's hope so. I'll be wearing my Jerome Brown throwback this week just because.
There you go. Good call.
I need that to work. Arch, appreciate it as always.
You the man, Arch.
See you guys.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.